toner. All right. Welcome to episode 20 of the Nerdcast podcast.
Correction.
With
19.
Me, say what? Oh, this is 19. Scratch that. 19. I was looking at my paper around 20. All right. Scratch it. We'll start over.
Are you clicking a pen or something?
I was. I'm going to stop.
Yeah. I was going to say, you can totally hear that.
Welcome to episode 19 of the Nerdcast podcast. Joining me tonight are Cripple J.
Hello.
And Joe Dust.
Titties.
Nice. Hit the music, Jay. Joe's got a rave going on in his apartment. Actually, you're with your parents right now.
Still, yes, right? In my apartment, aka my parents' bedroom.
There you go. I like it. Well, did the condo get sold?
No, but if it doesn't get sold here in the next 3 weeks or so, I'm probably just going to move back in. A couple of IKEA pieces, no big deal.
All right. Jay, on the top of the agenda, I think we're going to dive into Deadpool.
All right, we'll start with the Deadpool Halloween video. Did anyone else see that?
Yeah, I watched it. That's when he joins up with some kids that are already dressed up as other X-Men.
Yes. And he's just completely profane in front of them. It was hilarious.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
That's going to give us a hint of what the movie's going to be like, and I'm definitely looking forward to it.
And didn't one of the kids make fun of him, like saying, "Aren't you Green Lantern?" or something like that?
Yeah, and he just ripped into him.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it. We're getting closer. February release date still? So
yes.
So then I guess the thing was you're going to talk about the character and the video from Halloween, but anything else that we need to know about?
Well, this isn't going to be like any other superhero movie you've seen, because the way the Deadpool character is, he doesn't conform to your typical superhero rules. He's a mercenary, so he's sometimes good, sometimes bad. But the character himself breaks the fourth wall, and he's going to sit there and talk to the audience during the movie, which will be interesting to see how they pull that off. He's self-aware, too. So they said there's going to be a lot of jokes about the Wolverine Origins movie, mm-hmm. as there rightfully should be.
Nice. Well, that's good. That's just kind of so they can retcon that and kind of wipe that from the slate and say, yeah, it happened, but we're going to try and make people forget about that a little bit by just poking fun at ourselves.
They've also said the Colossus character is actually going to be Russian, so that'll be a little more true to the character.
Well, is it the same guy that played him, and they're just going to let him talk with a Russian accent now, or are they getting a whole different guy to play him?
Whole different guy. They're going the route that Days of Futures Past has erased everything that's happened, and X-Men Apocalypse are bringing in new Jean Grey, new Scott Summers, new Storm, so they're going to do that too with Colossus. And I guess they gave them a list of characters that they could use for this movie, and it was Colossus and a bunch of nobodies. So they ended up picking Negasonic Teenage Warhead,
which is the best created ever for a superhero character.
They pretty much had a clean slate with her too, because she was a little used character in the comic book that hasn't been seen since Grant Morrison left New X-Men years and years ago. So it should be a fun movie, and I'm definitely not taking the kids to that one as much as they want to go.
That's going to be a hard R, which is what makes it pretty cool.
Right. And so they shouldn't expect these incredible box office numbers.
Well, I think it'll do a lot better than you suspect. Once word of mouth hits, I bet it'll do some good business.
I think it will too, but I don't. There are probably some people that hear superhero and expect Avenger-like mm-hmm. numbers.
Yeah.
And truthfully, I'd be surprised if this got like Ant-Man numbers even.
Well, because you're not going to get the 13-year-old audience is the problem.
Right.
You're going to alleviate that from the equation. But my thoughts are, as far as from the comic side of things, I was hoping they could probably use this as the jump-off point for maybe introducing Cable and because they're a big team up in the comics, so I wouldn't mind seeing a Cable movie.
That
And
could
then
be in the
also
sequel
leading
they're saying.
into X-Force. That's what I would hope to see. I mean, I know Hugh Jackman said he's done with Wolverine. Maybe that's a good way to replace Wolverine. Maybe not give the next guy that portrays him a solo feature. Perhaps put him in a team like that, and that way they can see if he really works as the new Wolverine or not.
There's rumors of a cameo in the movie.
By Jackman or by a different Wolverine?
By Jackman.
By Jackman, yeah. Because I mean, is there any rumors about a Cable appearance at all?
I haven't heard anything, but they said he's in play for the sequel.
Okay, cool. Well, that's what I hope. That's the direction I hope they go with. Because that'd be pretty. That's a pretty good one. They play well. They're kind of like the eye couple kind of thing. And I just hope they play up the whole he's kind of crazy thing. And maybe I guess we'll hopefully see the origin of why he's a little bit crazy in there. I mean, he's just a funny guy from the get go, but. In the comics, he's just not well in the head, we'll say that.
I was hoping they'd do a lot of voiceover internal monologue stuff where they have two or three different voices talking.
Hmm.
But I doubt they'll do that, at least for the first movie.
Well, I just don't think they'll go the route. Well, I don't know if they'll use source material all that much because they don't really need to. Because that's what makes the Deadpool comic so great is that there really isn't much continuity to it. You could pick up any Deadpool comic in the middle of any run, and it really wouldn't matter. At least that's my opinion of the character.
Until you run into Ghost Benjamin Franklin.
Yeah, which actually that was pretty funny. I like that run.
You have Brian Potion writing it, so or co-writing it.
Well, he's done with that though. I think.
Yeah, he is. Because
they relaunched a new number one on that. So.
Right, that just came out last week. I think it was a pretty good issue.
So I'm looking forward to it. Jay's looking forward. Joe, do you have any opinion on Deadpool at all?
I know what it is.
There you go.
I know who Ryan Reynolds is.
There you go. All right, well, let's move on to the next one, and I'm gonna flip two around because I kind of want to leave the big discussion for kind of in the middle of this, and I'll segue off of this more recent one. Because it'll work appropriately. Follow with me for a little bit. The next one I want to go to was the school suspension story. I don't know if you guys read the link I sent you. It's about the 6-year-old kid. I believe it was in Cincinnati, Ohio, or somewhere in Ohio.
Of course it's in fucking Ohio.
You hate Ohio so much. But the reason for the story was, again, this was early November. A 6-year-old first grader was suspended for 3 days, out of school suspension, for pretending to shoot a fellow first grader with, an imaginary bow and arrow.
While playing Power Rangers.
Yeah, he was saying that he was imitating being a Power Ranger. And basically the quote from the principal of the school was, "I have no tolerance for any real, pretend, or imitated violence. The punishment is an out-of-school suspension." The child goes to Our Lady of Lourdes, or Our Lady of Lourdes, I guess, Cincinnati, Ohio.
There's his first problem.
So, it's a Catholic school, so zero tolerance in the Catholic school, I guess, is what they're going with. The Archdiocese did not comment on the disciplinary issues, what it said later in the article, and I'm reading it off of Fox News right now. And the parents were just like, honestly, really, because she said that she had the principal on the phone for a good amount of time, and her, you know, main sounding board was, is this really necessary? I mean, because I guess as a parent, why would you want to stifle a child's imagination? Now, mind you, yeah, okay, it's quote unquote violent, but that's part of every child's growing up process is to use their imagination and play. I found this to be one of the most ridiculous stories I've seen.
Yeah.
In quite some time.
I think at that point I would have told the principal, "God, I'm going to make you famous."
I am just planning on Will getting suspended when he gets to school at this point, so.
Because, I mean, and that's the thing, I would never want to hamper my kid's imagination. Because my kid has quite an imagination, to be honest with you, and if for any reason they said, "We're suspending your kid because he's using an imagination," that's just not the school for my kid then, to be honest with you. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, this goes into the level of PC that's just, I couldn't even describe what level that is, to be honest with you, because it's just unimaginable. It just really is.
I didn't know Mizzou had little satellite campuses in Ohio.
Because, yes, that's exactly how I was going to segue onto our next topic, was because of, I guess we could start with Joe's favorite college quarterback by the name of Matty Mauch. And where is he from, Joe?
He's from the fuck me state of Ohio.
He is from the fuck me state of Ohio. And Matty Mauch was, as it showed on many news outlets, was he was suspended for the first time. And I don't. Did we ever really talk about this in one of the previous episodes about what the rumors were for the suspension?
I think we mentioned the suspension, but not really what it was about. Details.
Yeah.
Well, let's start with this. Matty Mauch came in as a freshman a few years back, and his first thing that he did while on campus was he got on a scooter with two other freshman girls, and he got into a chase down there in Maine, downtown Columbia, Missouri, and kind of lost the cops, is what was reported. So I'm guessing basically drunk on a scooter would be what we'd say, which was a good way to start his college career. And then in more recent events here, the rumors on campus, now mind you, these are all rumors. No reports ever came out about the specifics of his suspension, and they never will come out. But the rumors around campus was that not only was he doing cocaine, he was also selling cocaine on campus. Again, allegedly, all rumors, none confirmed. But just that's how Mizzou's season really kind of took off, was with their starting quarterback that's started 20-plus games at that point being kicked off the team.
That should have been like a like an indicator of not just how football would go, but the whole semester at Mizzou.
Yeah.
It's all downhill from there.
It's way downhill from there, because he gets suspended one time. He misses a whole month worth of games. He misses 4 weeks. And the coach uplifts the suspension. He's free to come back to the team. And Mauch issues an apology to the entire team. And that night, after the apology, he goes to a bar, gets drunk, and gets into a fight at a bar. And so basically that was two strikes, and it was right after he was supposed to basically, hey, I'm assuming the suspension was lifted because it was basically, hey, behave yourself and you're fine. We'll get back to normal, or as normal as can be. And that very night you go out and you get plastered and start some crap in downtown Columbia. And so Mauch is then suspended from the team indefinitely for the rest of the year. In the meantime, his suspension, Mizzou has been historically one of the worst offensive football teams in the nation. And then, I guess, after all that goes down with just the quarterback controversy, which it's kind of a big deal because this is an up-and-coming team in the SEC, and the SEC is the biggest division in college football, and they lose their starting quarterback, they're forced to play a freshman. And in the meantime, what's been going on is there has been a student at the campus named Jonathan Butler who started I don't even know the correct terminology to even use. I guess a movement is what we'll say. And I guess they're calling it Concerned Student 1950. Hashtag Concerned Student 1950. And this Jonathan Butler kid went on a hunger strike, claiming systemic, what was the word? Systemic oppression of some kind? Or systemic racism within Missouri's education system.
Basically a lack of reaction to racism on the campus.
Yeah, and that lasted for quite some time, up until the point, I don't even know how many days he was in on his hunger strike.
He was like five or six.
Yeah, but I mean, but not the allegations, but the complaints stem back further than when this hunger strike started. I guess they somehow tied in this systemic oppression. Or is it systemic or systematic? The terminology needs to be accurate because I keep getting
it systemic.
In different news reports.
Yeah, systemic.
So, and before that, how I guess what he was doing, he's a grad student at the school, and he was having issues with the fact that, now mind you, with him being a grad student and it means that he's an employee of the state of Missouri. And being such, with the way they changed things, they cut out a lot of grad student benefits. And his main complaints came out on the list, and the big topic points on there were the fact that his health benefits were cut, and I guess there were some issues with student housing, because I guess he's still classified as student, mind you. And he didn't like those things being cut. And then somehow he took losing benefits as a grad student and tied that into this race angle of, I guess they had an issue with the homecoming king, who is also, I believe, the student body president, if I'm getting my people the same.
Right.
He's a black gentleman that's also gay, and
it's not Michael Sam.
It's not Michael Sam. And apparently someone, you know, was shouting derogatory terms at him while at the homecoming parade. And there was also an issue at the, I guess, Cultural Black Learning Center, is if I'm remembering correctly, where I guess some students were throwing cotton balls on the lawn there at the center. So thank you very much, students of Mizzou. You are painting Missouri in a very, very racist picture there, and
which is just adding to everything.
And it's just adding to everything. Correct. So all these incidences are coming about, and I guess Jonathan Butler goes to Jamon Moore, who's a redshirt sophomore wide receiver for the football team, and discusses his actions. And in order to force some action to be done within the school system, he has the football team join him in his plight, and the football team announces that they're going to go on a boycott of all team activities, which includes not practicing and also not playing in the next game. So that occurs, and not but, I think, what, 24 hours after the announcement, I believe, versus maybe 48 hours after the announcement. After that, the board of curators meets, and the system president for the entire University of Missouri, not just in Columbia, but we're talking Rolla, St. Louis, Kansas City, he resigns from his post. And the chancellor of Missouri also resigns and takes a research role within the system. And so they've effectively, with the power of the players threatening to not play, which would cost the university, you know, easily $1 million+ for not playing on Saturday.
They said $1 million for the game and then whatever SEC money they would have received, right, too.
Which would be the television money. And lo and behold, they get them ousted, the hunger strike ends, and that's where we sit now on a Sunday evening after Mizzou does play. And I guess, oh, and the other thing was, on the Friday before the game, their head coach for the past 15 years stepped down. He resigned as well.
Which was pretty abrupt, I thought.
Excuse me. Abrupt. Didn't see it coming. Turns out... that he has non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, so he does have cancer. They're saying treatable, but any cancer, you know, you have to focus on your recovery and probably have to go through chemo, I guess. I don't know if this is the type of cancer you go through chemo or not. Assuming possibly, yes.
I would assume that he's already been through some kind of treatment because they said it was diagnosed back in May.
Yep. So as Joe alluded at the beginning of the topic conversation, the suspension of Maddie Mauch leads to one of the most turbulent semesters in Mizzou history.
And it wasn't because Mauch was suspended.
It wasn't because it just was the starting point.
Yeah, that was the starting point. Huh,
that was the ball that got rolling down the avalanche, we'll say.
Yeah, right. It's especially if you're into sports at Mizzou and then you're paying attention to that. And then just everything else. It's been pretty crazy. What, 6 weeks?
Yeah, more than that. I'd say a couple months here, the entire football season. So right. I'm not trying to be sports centric because a lot of our listeners are probably not into sports as much. But basically, this is our portion of local news. That's what we're doing here. It's been kind of crazy here because of this. I am a big Mizzou fan, and a gentleman at work was also he's actually a Mizzou alum, Mizzou fan as well, and he came to my desk and asked me my opinion of what all was going on. And my response to him was, I had no idea that this was going on. I find it disturbing that whatever allegations are being made, they're even having to be made, especially in 2015. But I guess racism is going to be anywhere. It's probably, I don't think it's just a Mizzou-centric or Missouri-centric problem.
It's just blown out more because of what's happened in Ferguson. And
yeah.
Ferguson issue, yep. And then basically I said...
Black Lives Matter effect.
Well, my issue was the kids that protested, the issue I was having was I asked this question out loud. I said, I don't know if these kids understand what they're really protesting for. And upon my saying that and giving some additional opinions... saying I don't know what's going on. I hate for someone to lose their job over something that we don't know exactly what happened. If change, my big thing was, if change needs to be made, hopefully they make it quick. And in which I then received an email from a coworker that happens to be black, wanting me to suppress my speech about any opinions I might have about Mizzou. And I was kind of caught off guard by that because I didn't I was of the impression that adults talking about the issue, I didn't know just talking about it would be considered racist. And basically that's what I was, in a roundabout way, told, that if you're white and you talk about any of these issues, it can be seen as racist. And I was like, I didn't mean to come off that way whatsoever.
Fuck it. You don't have anything to apologize for.
Well, I just find
I think South Park almost, like, they prophesized all of this.
Well, and I just... I had no clue that caring about a football team, and that's basically how I was trying to lighten the mood from the conversation, because the gentleman I was speaking with is pretty right wing. He's a Fox News guy and very conservative. He's not shy about being a Republican. He wasn't centering himself very much, and I was just trying to steer him away from that because it's not the appropriate place to do so.
Right,
because work's not the place to be talking like that. But I also am a big, you know, freedom of speech guy. Whatever you have to say, you're free to say so, but I'm also one of those people that says there are consequences to your actions, and saying what you're saying, there could be consequences to it.
Right.
And I was just trying to make light of it, saying, I don't really care about much of this, except I want my football team back, is all I was trying to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If it were only that simple, though, you know?
And it's not. I know it's not.
Like, I don't know, I'm probably jumping the gun, but... Like, you saw, obviously, all the shit, hopefully I'm not spoiling a topic, but all the shit in Paris that's happened over, you know, a few days ago. Happen to see the fucking Mizzou tweets related to that?
No, I didn't.
No, there's people at Mizzou, probably protesters and whoever else, complaining that Paris is now overshadowing the Mizzou protests.
Oh, wow.
So everybody screen capped all these tweets, if you just Google it, they're out there. And, like, these people have been deleting their tweets, and Mizzou's trying to distance themselves away from that, but that's what the whole thing's about. It's about fucking attention. Because, as Mr. Clay Travis put it, he's written the best articles, in my opinion, about the whole thing. I mean, it's no question that there's racism out there, but there's literally no proof any of that shit happened, except for maybe the shit swastika, or whatever they're calling it, you know? Yeah. That's not aimed at blacks anyway, but that's not even being racist. That's someone who just needs freaking mental health.
Yeah, you know? I agree with that. Well, and here's
what counseling,
I should say. The poop swastika thing.
Poop swastika.
That's a symbol of hate, no matter how you look at it. It is a hate symbol. Now, who exactly was it directed toward? It doesn't matter who it was directed toward. We can all agree, no one needs to ever see something like that. And when you do that, you're trying to get a point across, regardless of who you're targeting. You're getting a point across that, the guy that did that definitely needs mental help.
But it's not like it was written in magic marker. Somebody actually took shit and did it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
Maybe they're protesting the janitorial services there.
Oh, yeah, that could be. That's a good one, especially in... I mean, if we really wanted to boil it down, if we could find specks of corn or something, we could probably narrow it down to who did it, but...
And the main issue I had was I don't think we need to be living in a society where adults that obviously I can agree that we're all here on this podcast not racist. We all, we're all pretty level-headed adults, and I just don't think that the movement that they're wanting, which is for us to all come together as one people kind of thing, we don't need to be suppressing each other's voices and hearing each other's opinions, which I don't know if that's being done. We'll say that.
I think it was. It's really just a bunch of people that were misled, to be honest, at the protest.
Yeah.
And I think if I were a parent and saw my kid up there just being a complete asshole, I'd probably yank him out of school.
And what I've been doing, see, I find this whole thing to be fascinating because it's pretty nationwide, I would think. And this is not something that's going to go away.
Bill Maher mentioned it,
you know?
Yeah.
So my thing is I've been spending a lot of time listening to as much, you know, sports talk radio here in St. Louis as possible. I like hearing former players of the team come forward and talk about it because they said, you know, the stars of Missouri sports. We're talking about guys like Kim English, the Damian Washington, who are some Jeremy Maclin. He won't even discuss the issue, which I think is probably the smartest thing for him to do. Sometimes the smartest thing to do is just not to talk about it, because if you can't speak in an educated manner about it without emotion, perhaps you wait until the emotion settles and you talk about, you know, logically.
Well, he could also be reprimanded by his team too if he went and said something.
But the players there, you know, they say that their experiences, they can't talk on their experience because they're not living the same life as a normal student. They are the kings of campus. They get treated differently because they are different than everybody on campus.
But dude,
and I don't mean different by their skin color. I mean they're different because you're a sports star, and in the town where you're a sports star, you're gonna get special treatment. You're gonna not have to wait in line. You're probably gonna get free drinks at a restaurant. You're gonna get treated. You know, everyone's gonna want to give you a high five and want, you know, talk with you, get your autograph, stuff like that. So them speaking on behalf of just a normal, typical student that goes to class every day, those are two different worlds. And that's what I took away from a lot of the conversations. I agree that Clay Travis made some great points in his article. Jason Whitlock wrote a pretty good article that kind of called the students out, where you came to this whole movement with a lot of complaints, and you had action done, but really, what is that action going to change there on campus?
Right.
And the Jason Whitlock article was pretty intense because he said, if you really wanted to talk about, not racism, but an issue that needs attention, was in Chicago very recently, an 8-year-old child was shot down, and he was just basically caught in a drive-by crossfire issue. And nothing was heard about it. And he wanted to talk about that and why isn't that a topic of conversation versus focusing on the actions of a few individuals. You know?
Well, and the guy, I already forgot his name, the hunger strike dude. What's his name?
Jonathan Butler.
Yeah. And like a thing, you know, a big fact about him that everybody brings up, you're saying like a normal student. That guy's not a normal student. A, he's a grad student. His parents are millionaires.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's probably had just about everything he's needed in life, you know. Mm-hmm. And he is, if you want to use the term, he's a one percenter. Yet he's probably the type of guy that would go out there and tell everyone they're the enemy. Yeah. I mean, I don't buy for a second that the guy was on a hunger strike.
And just because he comes from wealth, I don't think that takes over the fact that we don't live a day in his shoes. He could very still be a victim of a racist attack, racism, whatever the case may be. That doesn't change that fact that you come from wealth. But I also think that I agree with you. His cause and what he tied into the cause, I think it was miscued. It was him wanting a set of demands met for his grad student status. And it seems like, from what I took from it, was because he didn't get what he wanted, he said, fine, if you're not going to give me what I want, I'm going to start this, and now deal with it.
Turned it into a race issue.
He did. He definitely did. Where at the beginning, it wasn't that. I think one of the best things I've heard so far was on an interview with a former defensive tackle, and I'm trying to remember his name. It was Lorenzo, crap. Joe, help me out with a mid-2000s defensive tackle. Lorenzo.
I have no idea.
Dang it. You're not helping me out. but he was on a late program here in St. Louis, giving his opinions, and he's like.
Hey, is he on the Rams?
No.
Oh, on the Rams. You mean Mizzou? Okay, yeah, I don't know.
He's retired. He did play in the league for a little bit, but it was basically just going, look, hey, I'm not a typical student at Mizzou, and getting my opinion on what happened, and I can give you the fact that I'm being a black guy, I'm always going to be a victim of racism at some point from some idiot, but that doesn't mean the whole campus is that way, you know. And his point was that, you know, hey, I'm a black guy, I'm 300 pounds, 6'2", I look the way I look, people aren't going to come up to me and say derogatory things to me. They're either going to walk away in fear of me because of the way I am and how big I am, or they're going to be that guy, that fan that wants to come up and give me a high five kind of thing.
Yeah.
But he said, but that doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. You know, he says, hey, he's married to a white woman and he lives in Springfield, Missouri. And he says, basically the black population is about 2% there. So, you know, he still has to deal with it. And one of the stories he told was that he has a couple of kids, and I think two of his kids look a lot like him, and the third one looks a lot more like his wife. And a student on the bus would not sit next to his daughter because, although they said they were friends at school, they were told that because she was, it was the one that looks like him, because basically that she was black, she couldn't sit next to her on the bus. And she had to tell her that because, you know, they went and sat next to their sibling, and the sibling looks more white, is basically how the story broke down. And then he's like, I have to try to deal with that today. It's 2015, and I still have to tell my child dealing with this on a school bus. So I think he was just trying to give an example of, regardless of it being 2015, this is an issue that, who knows if it'll ever go away.
Yeah.
We can all hope that it does, but it's just crazy that the actions of one small school here in the Midwest, which it's not, I guess it's not a small school, but one Midwest school is able to create this much chaos. And that's how I kind of described it. It was chaos.
But I think what the students didn't understand, what they were, like, I get what they probably thought, oh my God, I'm going to have so many cool, you know, Facebook and Instagram photos out of this, you know, I'm part of something big in history. But in reality, they kind of came away they probably made the situation worse because now the entire country, they think Mizzou's a racist school. And, I mean, like somebody pointed out, dude, they're freaking, dude beating the drum the last 2 years is Michael Sam, a gay black man. Their student body president's a gay black man. I'm like, you know, if you think the KKK is really walking around at Mizzou, I mean, there's two good examples for you. But so there's that. And then just with the way they handled the actual situation on the quad, it's not private property. They're in public. I mean, they made Mizzou look racist, and then they made themselves just look like idiots.
I don't think
they really thought that through. You know?
Well, because you're saying the whole blocking the press from taking photos of what was going on at the quad.
Yeah, and in reality,
not only it wasn't even the press. It was a student at the J school working for the newspaper.
Right. Yeah, he was a student at Mizzou. And he did a really good job keeping his cool. But and like the
and
students,
even, mind you, remember, he was a minority as well. He was Asian.
Yeah, he was Asian. Yeah.
So I just.
And it's not necessarily you got what, probably 19 and 20-year-olds out there for the most part. And what are they going to do? They're going to listen to the professors probably. And they probably honestly think they're doing the right thing. And who knows? I mean, it's what are you going to do when the people that are leading you are just complete idiots?
And well, my dad went to Mizzou, I think late 60s, early 70s. I can't remember the exact time frame he was there. But I asked him when he was there, I was like, Dad, was it really like that? I mean, again, we're not too far removed from the civil rights movement of the 60s. And I was like, when you were there, was it rampant? I mean, were things really bad? Give me your honest opinion. Give me your story of what happened. He's like, to be honest with you, that was during the protests of Vietnam. People were, I mean, the civil rights movement happened. That's what was the main focus when he was there, was people all protesting Vietnam. And not to be, you know, is anybody shocked by that happening at a college campus?
Right, yeah.
Kids, you know, boycotting or, you know, protesting against Vietnam.
I mean, they still protest wars today.
Yeah. And then I asked him, I was like, Dad, it's 2015. It's 2015. And, I mean, I can speak for me and Jay. Joe, I don't know which high school you went to, but me and Jay, we went to high school. It was not, I mean, yeah, a larger percentage of white, but we had a huge mix of every race and culture you can think of.
Right.
And I just didn't see it at our school. We had kids bust in from the inner city, and everyone got along. There was never, racism was never an issue. And we're talking from in the late 90s, early 2000s. I mean, Jay, do you agree with that at all? I mean, did you see stuff I didn't see?
I didn't see anything like that. So, I mean, yeah, we were a diverse school. And
yeah. So there were no issues. And I just hate that, like Joe said, this is painting, not you know, our state, our city. It's painting us as a racist thing. And it's just, I hate to think that that's the way the world sees us. And I just don't see that as the world we live in.
No.
I mean, I know it's St. Louis, and I know we're Midwest. There are racial issues, but
it's not like we're walking around burning crosses in people's front yards or something.
That's what I'm trying to get at. Thank you, Joe.
But that's kind of what, like, I mean, that's probably what some people are taking away from it, you know?
And I mean, it's sad to hear that some people are saying, hey, I'm some students are leaving the campus and they're just like, I'm not going to come back here. They say they don't feel like it's a safe campus.
I can understand that, though. Yeah, it probably doesn't feel very safe right now.
No, I agree. It's just sad that that's being said. I mean,
yeah, and like racism, I mean, like they said, it's like animals. Take dogs and cats. They grow up together and they don't know any different. They're cool with each other.
Yeah.
You've seen all these weird, like, a cheetah's growing up with a dog and they're best friends. I mean, the only reason people are racist is because they have something planted at their head, you know, at an early age, yeah. And it's constantly beaten into it that we're better than these people are shit, or whatever, and that's all it is, really.
Yeah. It's just, it was crazy. It was, like you said, crazy couple of weeks there, and here in our state. It's big local news, and I would just wish that we weren't in the news for that reason.
Yeah.
Because, like Jay said, you started with Ferguson last year, and it kind of flows into this, and it's like, what more do you guys need to see that this does not need to go on. Something right. Does need to change where we don't have this divide, and it's just not worth it.
I think if the student body at Mizzou were smart, they'd kind of lay off social media for a little while.
Yeah.
Like, you can have maybe a spokesperson for you if anybody needs to do interviews, but...
Well, Jay, you're a big social media guy, and I'll ask you this question. Do you think that's made things as bad as it can be? It just
debates
everything
a
million percent.
Because everything is freaking, it's just immediate. And like when that person in the heat of the moment puts something out there on Twitter or, you know, Facebook or whatever, I mean, you can take it back, but all people have to do is screen cap it. And you're, you know, whether you're 18 or if you're an adult, I mean, that could cost you various things. It could cost you your job, you know?
So here's the question. I'll stem off of that. And Jay, chime in on what your opinion is on this. Is social media a good thing? Is Twitter a good thing? Or is it really, are we learning from all of this that, and, you know, from this incident, from Ferguson, from other things that you can even think of, does it ever do anything good, or does it just make things worse?
It depends on what you're using it for. For people that post pictures for their families to be out of town. And like, I've contacted family I haven't talked to in a long time because they're distant relatives. I don't see them very often. But I feel like I've connected with them more. They know my kids now because they see the pictures. But then on the flip side of it, it's something happens like the Mizzou stuff, like what happened in Paris. I don't want to get on social media because all of a sudden it's everyone's opinions and people bickering over little things about it. It's
sorry,
good and bad.
Yeah. Joe, what do you think? Is social media, let's just simplify, is it a good thing?
Yeah, I think it's whatever you want to make it, because I think I mean, like Twitter, for example, I can unfollow or block whoever I want, right? I don't have to follow people. But if you're somebody that really, really likes attention, sure, you can send 3,000 friend requests out, but it's not always about, whoa, what the hell is that? That's not always the best idea, but like I think another good example, bringing up Paris again, I'm not on Facebook anymore, but they had what, apparently a Facebook app that rolled out that people could check in to let everyone know that they were safe. So I
They
think
were
stuff
doing
like
that
that's
for
pretty cool.
hurricanes. Yeah.
They've done that for hurricanes too.
Oh, do they? Yeah. See,
Yeah.
so that's
The
pretty cool.
flip side of that is though, you get everyone changing their profile picture for the colors of Paris, and then they're never gonna change it back. And it's like, here, I support what happened in France. Like, I support the people of France by changing the color of my profile picture.
Right.
But if you truly want to support them, donate money. Do something actually makes a difference instead of just changing your profile picture.
Yeah. Well, it's the same thing with like gay marriage, the rainbow flag. And I actually just watched on Netflix Anthony Jeselnik's stand-up special, and his stand-up special is called Thoughts and Prayers. And he basically just says people that tweet thoughts and prayers after every tragedy, he goes, all they're saying is, guys, don't forget about me. I'm sad too. It's totally true, though. He goes, you do absolutely nothing tweeting that you're thinking about them, you know? Which, I mean, it's not like you're being an asshole necessarily. I know a lot of people aren't, but also, it really doesn't. It accomplishes less than zero.
No,
Which,
like
I
we've
sound
said,
like I'm
this is,
drunk. I'm not.
like we've said before, this is just trying to bring it back on them.
Right.
I want the attention too.
Right.
Oh no, there's a Boston Marathon bomb. Oh, I feel so bad for those people. This is my opinion on it. We don't
Well,
need your opinion.
yeah, Anthony Jeselnik, that was one thing he talked about, you know, and that's how he led into it, because he said he was forced to delete one tweet in his life, and that was the one he tweeted after the Boston Marathon. And he said, all I said was, some lines just aren't meant to be crossed.
Oh,
Or there are some
jeez.
lines you just shouldn't cross, something like that. But you know, he deleted it. But he goes, you know, yeah, he goes, and I'm just trying to, he goes, that's what I do. I'm just always trying to be funny in the moment, no matter what it is. And yeah, some people hate it, but at the same time, you're gonna have millions of people going, thoughts and prayers, which just kind of go out into the abyss.
So,
Fuck it.
yay. I don't know. Anyways, that's local news for you.
Also, I heard Tony Craig is gay. I just wanted to throw that out there. And I'm gonna change my profile picture to support him. Tony,
Even with the
congratulations.
rainbow profile? Sweet.
Yes.
Nice.
I'll send you my fantasy
And we want to
football
make sure
logo.
we know what you think about it. Good Lord. My kids are upstairs going crazy. Anyway.
Mine are too.
Yeah, it sounds like you're talking from a daycare.
So, let's plow ahead here. Let's go to next topic, I guess, because I think we've all made some good points on the events that occurred here and the impact of social media on that on those events. I think I don't know if the proper term is that things will blow over. I don't know if they will at this point. Due to the fact that they did get the president changed, and the chancellor out of there as well. I'm just kind of curious if this is one of those very millennial things where, hey, in the moment, everyone was really involved with it, and then after the newness of it wears off, what happens now, you know?
Oh, dude, a week from now, if that, nobody's going to be talking about it.
That's the
Which,
sad part,
if you're, well, I don't know. In a way, if you're Mizzou, you might not want people remembering all that shit. I don't know. It's like a catch 22. They can talk about it, they just need to shut up. Oh, yeah, I hear you, kid.
He's mad about Mizzou too.
Yeah.
Jeez.
They just need to find.
Mizzou's a hot topic in our house right now.
They just need to find a better way than protesting on a quad to get their point across, I think. Although it looks like there's a new regime coming in anyway, so who knows?
All right, so let's move on to something lighter, shall we? Can we move on to let's do that. Let's go to Jay. Let's talk about some driving etiquette issues. So
Right.
If you can do so.
So last week we were at a stoplight behind a police officer, and the light changed, and it looked like he was sitting there playing on his little laptop in his car. And we didn't know if we should honk to let him know it changed. Is that acceptable?
I think it is.
What do you do in that situation?
I wouldn't fear it too much. I think I'm with Joe on that. Don't lay into it, obviously. Yeah. don't lay on it for a while, but give him a quick little tap there on the horn. I don't think that there's
anything. Yeah, one or two little love taps and like wave and act all friendly.
Don't flip him off and go irate on him, obviously. But just let him know that, hey, we're not, it's not your world. We all need to operate in here, so.
So don't go toner on him and curse at him and.
No. No, I would think not to do that would be the proper thing to do. But I will say that that's not uncommon here. I've been a victim of being stuck behind someone at a light they're just out on Planet Nine, you know, not paying attention whatsoever. And
that person's me. All the time. That's
you.
Yeah.
You're too busy checking your Twitter, man. What's up?
Man, I'm looking at my cell phone.
Texting while smoking and driving and yelling at your kids.
I'll tell you something that pisses me off and that just happened yesterday. And this happens all the time. And I'm sure it's happened to you guys numerous times. But so I'm on the page extension and I'm going to my friend Ryan's house. And I'm getting off on my exit. My exit is maybe a quarter of a mile away. So this woman in like a minivan is behind me, and I'm going the speed limit, probably even a few miles per hour over. She accelerates, whips on, you know, I'm in the right lane. There's only two lanes, whips over the left lane, passes me. And then she just gets on the same fucking exit I'm getting off on.
Instead of just cruising behind you for a little bit.
Yeah. But like, I was just asking myself, I'm like, you saved yourself no time. What the fuck is the point of that? And she probably thought I was following her because we were going like the same turns, but I was just like, what is the point of that? We were not even a half a mile away from the exit. I don't know. I think it's just the in general, to be honest.
Here's an epidemic that I've been – that the talking on the cell phone or texting while driving. I'm not even talking about the commercials that, you know, say it can wait, you know, the texting thing. It's rampant, though. I swear to God, people don't – they drive a good 15 miles an hour under the speed limit and are, you know, they can't stay center in their lane.
Oh, dude.
They're too busy texting. And it's just like I'm so for a law going into effect saying it's illegal to text while you drive. Not for the safety part of it. It's just because you're an asshole. you're not paying attention to what you're supposed to be doing.
I try not to talk on my phone or text when I'm driving. But – yeah, I totally agree. And I don't want to sound like I'm getting old, but teenagers are the absolute worst.
Oh, they are the worst, dude.
And like you said, they'll swerve all over the freaking road, man, just to send out that LOL.
And here's something I've been running into a lot as an epidemic of bad driving etiquette. Have you guys been running into this a lot lately where people will slow down to go through a green light? I've been dealing with this nonstop around my area where people will hit the brakes while the light is green. And I'm not talking about it just turn green or they think it's about to turn yellow or anything like that. Just for no reason, just deciding to slow down to go through a green light.
I was going to say, is it like a dangerous intersection?
Nothing like that at all. But not at all. Just people slowing down to go through a green light. I just don't understand it. I don't know if it's a North County thing.
Yeah, it's got to be a North County
thing. Because I'm dealing with it nonstop around my area, man. It's crazy.
Sounds racist to me.
That's it. I said CS 1950 is what I said.
Did you also just avoid them? Don't get too close because you don't want them to invade your safe space.
Oh, God. Topical. Getting topical. I like it.
Well, I was like, man, I was going to say something. Oh, yeah, I was going to make a dumb joke, but whatever. You said it can wait. And I said that seems to be the motto of every girl I go out with, too.
But I mean, is it just us where we always think that wherever we live, that's where the worst drivers are, or is it really we're horrible here?
Because I'll tell you where I think the worst drivers are is driving up to Chicago and back.
So we're saying Illinoisians, if I may?
Yes.
The Illini.
The Illini.
They're the horrible drivers.
It's moved out of there, though, too, because it's like that Wisconsin. The Milwaukee drivers are the same as the Chicago drivers.
Most impatient assholes in the world, too. And you're just on a stretch of highway out in the middle of farmland. I mean, and I cringe every time I see, you know, construction over the next 8 miles. I'm like, all right, we're going to get pinned back even farther because everybody has to squeeze in at the very last second to get through those cones. And that's where I just wish I had a weapon. Too soon.
Just
too
anytime
soon.
Women.
Yeah, I was thinking kind of fashion.
But we go from the Mizzou talk to Joe wants a weapon.
Actually, I got lucky at Lollapalooza. The drive there and back was nice, but every other time there's been construction, there's just assholes everywhere. Mm-hmm. Haven't wrecked yet, though.
And I don't know. Is everyone notice where it just seems like everyone seems to just be on everyone's tails all the time, just tailgating like crazy?
Oh, yeah.
It's just rampant. I'm like, I don't get it. I don't get why you need to be 2 inches from my bumper at a stoplight kind of thing. You're not going to get anywhere any faster being that close to me.
I saw a guy leaving Citi one time, as in Citibank, and, you know, Highway 94 right there. And this was still when 94 is just your typical two-lane highway on each side, which I guess for the most part it kind of is still. But we were leaving Citi. He gets in the fast lane, and he's tailgating, like, literally 2 feet from their bumper, flashing his brights at them. And I'm like, where do you need to be, dude? And that's one of those guys that just causes wrecks, and that's why I need a weapon.
Nothing specific, just a weapon.
Just a weapon.
So, oh, and actually, Jay, I think your other etiquette story is even a better topic of conversation.
Oh, bathroom etiquette?
The bathroom one, dude. That was gross. That was so... Joe, did you hear about this?
I don't think he heard.
I don't think I did.
All right, give it to him, Joe. All right, Jay, go ahead and give it to him.
All right, so Friday morning, nature called like it does every morning at about 7:30.
Right, I drink coffee too, yeah.
So I go over to the knuckle. It's the area of the building that connects the two wings.
AKA the best place to poop.
Exactly.
Right.
So there's a blood drive there right outside of the bathroom.
Yeah, no, there's not a blood drive in the bathroom.
No, outside the bathroom.
What have you been eating?
So I go in, there's one stall open, I go into it, and there's a big pile of ice in it. Huh. The Red Cross dumped out one of their coolers into the stall, and I had the moral conundrum of, do I go in it and leave a log sitting on top of the ice?
No, here's my question, Jay. Were there other occupants in the bathroom at the other stalls?
There were three stalls. Two of them were taken, so this was the only stall.
This was your only option, and you had to go.
It's that, okay. Or walk upstairs to the third floor knuckle.
And you had to go, though, so yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I went for it. I was probably the most hated man in the bathroom for a good hour.
Because there was no way to do a courtesy flush. It was just sitting.
Oh no!
It was just sitting on top.
I flushed multiple times and aimed some piss at the ice. Hopefully,
right? Yeah,
that helped melt it. But
so no, the question, I guess, is from the etiquette standpoint, Jay, is what?
What do you do in that situation?
And just
do you
think
just go for it like I did, or
just
you...
think your turd was a frozen Tootsie Roll after a while?
Because I will say. Okay, other two stalls are occupied. You obviously had to go, and the only other place is you have to go up another flight. Now, once you go up the other flight, how close is the next bathroom up the next flight?
Up a flight of stairs and in the exact same location.
Same spot. I don't know. When you gotta go, you gotta go, man. And I don't think what you did was wrong. It's just you're put into a hard spot there, we'll say, and you gotta do what you gotta do. And I said, why did Red Cross dump ice in the toilet?
Yeah, why not
why not
it
put it
sinks?
In the sink or yeah. in the trash can? It wouldn't have mattered if it's in the trash or in the sink.
Put it in the sink and run some warm water for a couple minutes.
I mean, and it had to be enough ice to fill it up the bowl that much. Because it was above water, I'm guessing, correct?
Oh, yeah, it was above water.
So here's my question. Weren't you nervous about not having enough room to clear? That's my question.
And didn't the guy in the stall next to you, whenever you're like, huh, and there was just no splash sound?
I'm lucky it wasn't Bobby, because Bobby asked for courtesies.
And you tried, well, you gave, I'm guessing, did you try to flush right away after ejecting?
Oh, I looked in. I saw that it wasn't me.
You looked in. Dude, I'm almost saying that might have been picture worthy, just to say.
I considered it.
Also, dare I ask this, but I assume you also wiped and just threw the toilet paper on top of the ice?
I did.
Oh, God.
Oh, man.
Well, what else would you have done? There's nothing else you could do.
I don't know.
It's not like you're going to
not like we have
hold on to the tissue.
Yeah.
I also went out of my way to make sure it wasn't sitting on top of the turd when I threw it in.
So did at least the paper go down?
Oh, no.
Oh, the paper was still up? Oh, that's dude. What I'm saying. Oh, it was completely clogged, I guess, at that point. Yeah, I guess you're right. There's nowhere for that to go. Yeah. Oh. Dude, that's disgusting. You knew that was going to be there all day long, too. Well, yeah.
I went back a couple hours later, and it was gone.
Oh, it was?
Okay. Yeah.
Well, here's the question.
Angry Jim.
Just have to come around and clean that up. That would yeah. be that would be awful if somebody to come clean that up.
Yeah.
Because you know they there's probably just some guy there that said they probably made a call into somebody saying they needed that cleaned up.
You know the fucking cleaning service went through there and the poor, you know, Mexican woman walked in, looked in, and she goes, "Ay, mamia," and she like made the sign of the cross. And
she's just like, "You freaking gringo." That's
all she put caution thinking. Tape around the bath.
Oh man! So again, etiquette-wise, man, there's nothing you could do. You obeyed the rules. That there wasn't an empty stall for you to go and to keep the one stall space rule in effect, and you had to go. So I don't think any rules or etiquette were broken in this scenario.
All right, here's another one for you. I saw at a Blues game one time.
Go for it.
Stalls were all full. A father held his kid over a urinal. From the drop a deuce.
To drop a deuce in the urinal?
No. Yes.
No, not acceptable.
No.
Not acceptable on any level whatsoever.
He'd be better off just doing that over a trash can or
something. That's what I was going to say. Go in the trash can. That'd be the next thing. Don't do that at the urinal. There's no excuses. Oh.
I was shocked when I saw that.
I'm going to guess that was in the 300 level that occurred.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's not the 100s probably.
That was not in the 100 section.
That's the all, hey, I got free tickets to a Blues game. Here we go.
No, in that situation, you either sprint to the next one or you wait or you go in the trash can. And no way do you go in the urinal. Mm-mm.
And sporting event pooping's the worst. Like, if it's baseball, you got to get in there before the bottom of the first.
Oh, God.
I mean.
You might, yeah, I don't know. I don't ever think I can drop one at a baseball game. I don't think I ever have.
I never have, never yeah. will.
I don't think I could. I don't think I could. Like, no, there's too much pressure. I shut
down. If I'm not at home at work, I can't go in.
Yeah.
At a baseball game, though, man, with the way those lines get, man, there's enough pressure on you just at a urinal to go fast, let alone.
Oh, yeah. I can't. I always try to go to the stall because I'm like, great. Now, like, 15 dudes behind me are waiting for me to pee.
Yeah.
I get stage fright. So, and the worst is like at a big music festival too. It's all, well, A, it's Johnny on the Spots, which are no picnic, yeah. But B, like at peak times, you know, you'll yeah. have 10 to 20 people in line just waiting on one. I'm like, oh God. I yeah. mean, it's a lot of pressure on your sphincter. You gotta perform.
Too much pressure. I was under pressure.
Too much pressure.
Oh man. I don't have any good etiquette stories, man. Those are awesome stories.
This is quick off
a lot of them.
Quick off topic. I know The Walking Dead starts in like 5 minutes. Are we going to do a quick recap tomorrow?
That's the plan. Yeah,
right.
We want to keep Mondays open for doing that.
It's going to be a shit up. It's going to be a shit episode, like Jay said, but we'll still do it.
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
All right. Let's finish out with Kung Fury.
I did not watch it.
Do we have anything else to review besides Kung Fury, or was that the only thing we needed?
I've seen a few others, but we
can. Okay. Let's do Kung Fury. So, Joe, you didn't watch it. I did the homework. It was a quick. It's a quick 30 minutes, Joe. So if you want
to. Well, I actually was going to, and I didn't know we were going to record this early. So I'm like, yeah, fuck it, I won't.
Yeah, no, don't worry about it. It's.
It's the greatest.
Jay said, "Yeah, say it again, Jay."
Ever see?
I might watch
it. Don't take it seriously. Do not take it seriously. because my wife was watching with me. She's like, is this a video game? I was like, no, but it looks like they're trying to kind of make it look like one in a lot of the fight sequences.
He was going after Hitler in the 30s. That's what it, I think that's what they set it up to look like, is a side-scrolling video game.
It was about as ridiculous a thing that you could ever film, but it had production value. I mean, it's not like it was a bad, really, really bad B-movie. It was a higher... It could have been on Sci-Fi, is what I was going to say. It could have been a Friday night Sci-Fi movie.
If you go in thinking of it as a satire, you will enjoy it.
Yeah. The guy actually looks a lot like a Johnny Depp, which, to be honest with you, is what he looked like. So, I do recommend it. It was funny. I laughed out loud a few times. It is one of the dumbest things you ever watch, and it's ridiculous. But what's funny is they also did set it up for a sequel. So,
oh, man. And I would go to the theater to see a sequel.
I was curious if they're trying to make it like a TV show or not, and just keep it as 30-minute episodes kind of thing.
I don't know. That's something I could see flying on like YouTube.
Yeah, be a YouTube hit of some kind. So what else did you watch?
I want to give a shout out to finally got around to watch season one of True Detective.
Yeah, told
Badass.
You.
Badass.
It was one of the best shows I've seen in a long time. I thought McConaughey. I don't think he won an Emmy that year for his portrayal as Rust Cole.
Yeah.
But it was one of his best roles, I think, to be honest with you.
Man, I don't know if I'm even going to bother with season two, but...
Don't waste your time.
That's what I've heard.
Yep, don't waste
season your time. Season one, though, really good.
Yep. You watch anything else?
I watched the Anthony Jeselnik special. Aside from that, not really. I've been watching The Walking Dead and South Park and The League. The League's almost over. South Park's been solid all year.
Yeah, right before we started recording this, I watched about 15 minutes. I'm about 5 episodes behind on South Park, is what it feels like. And I'm watching the one where they create what's called a Sodo Hop or something like that.
Sodo Sopa.
So, yeah, what is that, like a real thing somewhere?
Well, it's not in Denver. Okay. They have those in numerous cities where they take... you know, the name and just splice it up. So it's Southern Downtown South Park. So
that's what that is. Okay. It's like, I don't know what this is.
So you haven't seen the other part of town that tries to compete with it yet?
No, not yet. Okay. Not yet. I'm only 15 minutes in and I'm at the part where the Chinese restaurant owner is hiring child labor. So.
Well, he creates another part of town too.
Nice.
And his commercial's awesome.
So I was laughing out loud at that episode because it's like hipster's paradise is what that.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
With the loft spaces and nightclubs and all that good stuff, I thought it was pretty funny.
Yeah.
I
gotta say The League. I know, like, at least I don't know. Do you watch it, Matt? I know Jake watches it.
Yeah, no, I watch it. I'm just behind on it.
This season sucks. Like, they should have just stopped after last season.
Well, isn't this supposed to be the last season of it?
Yeah, there's only a few episodes left. It has not been very good at all.
Yeah.
It's been a disappointment. I'm looking forward
That's
to
That's disappointing.
Yeah. It is.
It's been such a good show for years, so.
Yeah. Like, I hope they somehow can end it strong, but, like, man, it's almost like everybody's a cartoon character now, you know?
Yeah.
Let's see. The only movie I watched two things. I watched the Back to the Future documentary on Netflix called Back in Time.
What?
I don't think we talked about this one before.
Is that worth watching?
Yeah, it was really good. Very enjoyable. Yeah, I liked it a whole lot.
I didn't know that was on there.
It was
sad. Added to my list.
Yeah, it was sad to see Michael J. Fox in the condition that he's in. But a lot of the executive producers were involved with the documentary. Basically, a lot of it had to do with the fans of the movie and the impact the movie had on them and the strong following the movie still has, I guess, we're 20, 30 years later? I don't know. What are we? I guess we're 30 years later.
That's at this point, 30 right? years, I think.
Yeah.
Yep. Really good documentary. I highly recommend it. It's longer than you think. I think it's like a two-hour documentary. So
it is. I just looked it up. I'm adding it to my list. It's 94 minutes.
Yeah, so a lot, you know, well, I guess for a documentary, that's kind of on par. But it felt a lot longer than that at some parts. But I liked it. Recommend it. And I felt bad for Joe since he watched a teeny drama last time, so I thought I would join with him. So I watched
Are you talking about The Fault in Our
Stars? Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
I accidentally still haven't deleted it from my...
You accidentally on purpose forgot to delete it. No,
shut up,
man. No, I watched a movie similar to that. It's called If I Stay. It has the girl that plays Hit Girl from the movie Kick-Ass in it.
Oh,
Chloe Moritz or something like that.
Yeah.
She plays a teenager that's a she's a cello she's getting into Juilliard kind of thing. That's how good of a cello player she is. So it has to do with that, and she gets in a car accident with her family, and she goes into a coma, and I'm gonna leave it at that in case you guys want to watch it. I don't know if you will or not, but
yeah, that's popped up like several times, and I'm just like, meh.
Yeah, it wasn't bad, wasn't good. I don't even know why I watched it. I liked her as Hit Girl. And I was like, she's a pretty good actress. I'll see what she's.
It's good to have a little me time sometimes.
Sometimes it just makes you reflect on life. Because other than that, I watched that Kung Fury movie because of Jay's recommendation, so we could talk about it. Which I'm actually really glad he made me watch it, because I don't think I'd ever would have found it otherwise. And then I watched the first 5 minutes of Monster Squad whilst I get a poop today. So.
What was that on?
It's on Netflix.
Is it?
Yeah, it's on Netflix. What? Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah, exactly. I was taking a shit and I watched it.
Monster.
Going into the queue.
Yeah, duh, man.
Yeah, holy shit. I just added it.
There you go. I mean, you know, I don't know. I've talked about it a few times on the podcast. I love that movie. So.
Yeah, it's where you learn Wolfman's got nards.
Duh. So, that's all I had. Jay, what you got besides Kung Fury?
That's pretty much it. We watched the end of the tour with Jason Segel and Jesse Eisenberg.
So, was it any good?
Yeah, it was a good movie. It was slow. Yeah. It's about David Foster Wallace, an author who ended up committing suicide in 2008. But it's about a weekend he spent with Rolling Stone journalist David Lipsky.
Mm-hmm.
And just this weekend they had doing an interview. And it was pretty interesting.
Cool.
So definitely worth checking out.
Cool.
Cool story, Hansel.
So I don't know. A topic I was going to go over on another podcast, and I guess we're coming up on about hour 15 on this one, was we don't have to really go into the topic too much, but do you guys ever just had that feeling of being overwhelmed when looking at either Netflix or Amazon Prime, where there's just so much stuff out there that you spend more time looking to see what's on there than actually watching something?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Dude, I find myself just scrolling through all the time. Like I kind of want to watch all of this, but, you know, I don't know what to choose because I have such limited time to watch something. You know,
I'll add all these. I'll add everything I haven't seen. I'm like, oh, that looks awesome. You know what? Yeah, I'm just going to fucking watch Major League.
And then here's the other thing. Have you been noticing that there's a lot of Nazi stuff on Netflix now?
Yeah.
Am I alone on that?
Like, oh, there
is. For example, right now, at the top of it, there's something called Hitler's Riches.
Yep.
There's another one. Oh, where is it? Here we go. Secrets of the Third Reich. And those are just what's like at the top of the page there. Nazi mega weapons is on here. I'm like, what the fuck is all this shit? I hate Nazis. Why is this on here?
God, I guess I should go in so I can learn about my heritage.
So, I don't know. I just feel overwhelmed sometimes when I'm looking at Netflix and Amazon Prime. I was like, I can't choose. I don't know what to do.
Yeah, I like everything that's recommended to me. Manson Family Vacation. That sounds nice.
What is that?
I don't know. Charles Manson.
So, And Jay, just to give you a heads up, if you're still there listening, the documentary Dear Zachary is back on Netflix in case you missed it the last time through.
Yeah, I did.
I thought you'd want to watch that so you can let Aaron watch it as well, and you guys can be really depressed and not talk for a while.
Right. It's kind of jacked up. But
Joe,
then after
you watched it. Did you ever watch that documentary?
Oh, yeah, I watched it.
Oh, God, it's the most depressing thing.
Yeah. And then if you get sad, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure is on there, so you can watch that.
Nice. So, wait, no, just the first one, or is Bogus Journey on there as well?
Both of them.
Nice.
And you know what's funny? How Netflix gets you, like, I'm on my phone. Whenever you click on something, it'll give you all the recommended movies, so obviously you're gonna like everything that's recommended.
Yeah.
Like Wayne's World, Ferris Bueller, The Naked Gun, The Burbs. I mean, all of those are fucking good.
Yeah.
Back in Time is also right there.
There you go.
I might watch that tonight.
At least queue it up so you have it reminded to watch it. It really was good. Mm-hmm. I liked it.
Awesome.
So, all right. So, Jay, you got nothing else to recommend that you've watched lately? The League sucks now. That's lame. I don't like that. I want to catch up on that. I still need to finish up on season 2 of the show that we talked about last week, Joe. The HBO show.
Silicon Valley?
Yeah, Silicon Valley. Yeah. Sorry. I need to finish up on that.
It's good.
That's kind of where I'm at. I also want to get caught up on South Park. I'm behind on that. So.
I love the comedy in Silicon Valley.
Yeah, great show.
Just good.
So I think we covered all the topics we wanted to hit on for episode 19. I know Walking Dead is starting up now. I'm going to let it play until the commercials are done so I can fast forward through all that crap.
Yeah.
And then the new show comes out this week. You guys going to check that out, that Into the Badlands?
Probably. I will be watching it tonight.
You're gonna watch it, Joe? What do you think? You gonna give it a shot?
Nah, probably.
Nah, you're gonna pass. Okay.
I mean, I'll see word of mouth and then watch it on Netflix and then, you know, probably delete it halfway through.
Well, I think I'll check out the first episode tonight just to see what it's all about because I gotta wait for Talking Dead to come on later tonight anyway.
Oh yeah.
So, got that going on. So I think you guys we'll try to post. These Skype sessions get up on the iTunes pretty quick after we finish them up. So we're good there. Jay, do we actually have music for this week, or we need to put out a message to people saying we need to start having our listeners recommend some bands for us, or if they know anybody to hook us up so we can get some new music on here?
I've got music, but we're always looking for recommendations.
So yeah, anybody out there listening, if you got music recommendations, please send them our way. And then I guess teasers for episode 20. Some things we were going to maybe talk about some kung fu movies, Marvel movie news.
Are we episode 20? Sorry, cut you off. Are we planning on reuniting the gang?
I'm hoping if Toner and Steve ever want to get back involved on this, which we'll tease a big change for the podcast coming up. I'm going to tease it like that. We're going to have a big, big change for the podcast. But yeah, we're hopefully going to get the gang back together, all five of us, for a recording of episode 20. If not, we're going to keep sticking with the Skype thing. The Skype thing seems to be working okay for us. And then we got some talk about the Marvel Cinematic Universe versus DC Universe. Hunger Games is coming out.
And then just a second.
And then Joe, this is a
what's up?
This is a topic that you brought up a while back that we didn't hit on. I wanted to circle back on, which was the best and or worst movie or TV endings.
Oh yeah.
Show. So I kind of want to maybe circle back to that and go over that and maybe make a list of those because. Those are always pretty entertaining when we kind of talk about those things. So
word.
Those will be the recommendations. And I think a child just fell down the stairs. No, I'm sorry. My wife just threw... Oh, she just threw Bounty paper towels down the stairs at me. That's awesome.
Oh, that's cool.
So there's our teases. Again, big changes coming up for the podcast. We're going to tease that. And then... would you stop throwing shit at me? Seriously. We'll have to edit that out, Jay.
No, we're leaving that.
So there you go. Episode 19 in the books. You can find us on nerdcast.com, nyrdcst.com. We're on the iTunes, the TuneIn Radio. We're on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Again, always looking for music recommendations. And I think there you have it. And did I leave anything out, Jay?
No, you're good.
We're good. Oh, we didn't even think about it. Do we have any kind of beer sponsor? Were you guys drinking any beer tonight?
No, I'm not.
Yeah, I'm very sober tonight, so I didn't drink anything. So hopefully we'll all get together and we'll get back into the swing of things like we normally do.
Word.
And there you have it. So I'm Matt.
I'm Joe.
There you go. Not very organized on our sign-off. And Joe, say something funny before we sign off. Go.
My fantasy team sucks because Tom Brady needs to grow his hair back out so he looks like a majestic unicorn like he used to.
Word. All right, there you go. Episode 19 in the books. Until next time, do whatever it is you do.
Peace. See ya!
See ya!
This is The Urge with their song Violent Opposition off the 1995 album Receiving the Gift of Flavor. The Urge last weekend just played a concert. The first set of the show was this album in complete order to celebrate the 20th anniversary of it. Awesome, awesome CD. You should check it out.
Only hope for the best. Da da da, yeah, man.